Evening to the prophecy of Micah and chapter 5 and verse 5. Verse 5 in the 5th chapter in the prophecy of Micah. And this man shall be the peace. You may wonder how we get our text. I never choose them. We wait on the Lord for them. I'd been speaking on the Lord's Day on believing on the Son of God to be saved. And coming home, I felt in some urgency for a word for you tonight. And then there was an accident on the road. We were stopped for over half an hour, and my mind began to get anxious. Where should I still wait for a further hour, or should I try and find another way I didn't know? And this word came, and this man shall be the peace. And it kept coming, and it's been with me ever since that Sunday night. This man shall be the peace. So I venture in this word tonight. Now, what a blessing if you can say with me, we know this man. We know him by faith. We know a little in the exercise of faith, believing that we can sing such hymns as you've just sung about the love of Christ that is rich and free. And as the hymn writer felt, to express love, Christ under the person of love, in all the aspects of his love, well, some of them. Precious hymns we sing, and this is a very precious word that we are directed to tonight. And as I look on you few, I think, well, you are well acquainted with the doctrines of Scripture, gracious exhortations and precepts of Scripture. You're well acquainted with them. Your long association with them must have had some fruit, and I'm sure that you feel, yes, it is but a little here and a little there, that the Lord has dropped a word into my heart and into my mind to ponder, and I've had what has seemed to be a work of grace, and may it be proved to you that it is a work of grace, a real work, a work begun and a work carried on, and a work wherein Christ is revealed to us further. And why is it we keep coming? It's because the doctrines of the word are precious to us. And says the Apostle Paul, unto you that believe, he is precious. He's in honour, that's what the word means. But is that honour? And all honour belongs to Jesus Christ. He is precious. And that word means something very rich compared to our understanding of preciousness. Unto you that believe, he is precious. But I want to look at this truth as the Lord helps me and has in my meditation. And this man shall be the peace. And when we think of this dark world of sin and its enmity against God, a holy God, what is the basis of peace? What is the ground for peace when by nature we are rebels, when all the world are sinners before God, born in sin, shapen in iniquity, deceitful heart? What is the very ground of God's peace? God's peace. why this man, this dear man. There are 37 references I find in my concordance to the prehistoric Christ in the Old Testament, references that could be connected to our dear Redeemer. You know a few of them. Unto us a child is given and a son is born. The government shall be upon his shoulder. And in Psalm 22, when it speaks of the dear Redeemers, they look upon me, they cast their teeth at me, stare at my bones. And in Isaiah 53, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And there are so many references in the Old Testament, of course in the New, he is gloriously revealed. And again we go to the Old Testament, who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our report? As though the Lord is saying to Isaiah, our report, your report from my mouth, who has believed their report? This man, says the Lord by his prophet, shall be the peace when peace is made twixt man and God. Holy doctrines, aren't they? Solid truths. There is peace made through Jesus Christ. The apostle says to the believers, he has made peace by the blood of his cross. Made peace. And another scripture says, he is our peace, who has made both one, broken down the middle wall of partition. He is our peace. And in this chapter where we've read, and you must have felt as I did, some of the mysterious expression, and men from the original scriptures have had their opinions upon them, but faith says, I see my Saviour here. If you look at verse 3, you read, out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And your faith says, yes, there is a spiritual Israel. There are true believers in the gospel day, whose circumcision is of the heart, not of the flesh. The true people of God. And faith sees that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Master as well as our Saviour, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And faith would say, yes, our blessed Lord, with the Father, of the Father. In him was life, and the life was in him was life. And we know how John describes Jesus Christ as one with the Father, and how the apostle to the Hebrews describes him as the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty of God on high. This man, this dear man of whom we speak. We sing, don't we? There is a man in heaven now reigns, this dear man that suffered for our sakes, with wounds still open wide, not bleeding, open wide to the eye of faith, by faith to measure a little of what the Lord suffered, to make peace, an enduring peace, and an eternal peace. For if we understand peace, it is without danger, it's without threatening, it's more than just a peaceful feeling. When God spoke to his people, he will keep them in perfect peace. He was speaking of a people under affliction, a people that were being hounded from one place to another. He was speaking of perfect peace, that is, a peace that is mature and complete. That's what the word means. They would be free from danger and would be in their own habitation. Well, if we look at some of these blessed truths for a moment. Whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And it's so often quoted in religious circles, God so loved the world. It's said to be the most popular verse in Scripture. Well, so it may be, and so it is. For God did so love, and God did so send his Son. But in this chapter, we read a little of that that faith understands. I can put my eye upon it. Verse 3, therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. And surely faith would see there the Virgin Mary, the child that is born of thee shall be conceived of the Holy Ghost, called the Son of God. And faith would say, yes, he's going. In the counsels of Jehovah have been ever of old, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and God had prepared for him a body, and he was willing to take that body to do the will of God in it, in a work to be finished of redemption. Faith sees a little of these holy mysteries and sees Jesus as the very centre of these things. This man shall be the peace. Peace with God that I need, peace made with me through the blood of his cross. Peace that I may enjoy. This man is the very centre of his glory, the centre of the purposes of God. And I thought today, feeling like I do, we are so older, we can't do what we did. When we were young, we had a purpose, we were going to buy a house and we were going to do it up as best we could. We got the strength to do it, the mind to do it. Now we come to the stage where we have to purpose what we can do within our limits and pray for grace to do with strength to do what's within our limits. But God is not like that. Our God is a God of eternal purposes. And his purpose is to bless his people with salvation by his own free love and free grace. Oh, these doctrines are precious, aren't they? Can anything thwart the purposes of God? The purpose of God in the counsel of Jehovah was that Jesus Christ, this man, should be the surety for his people, for his bride, that he should come to this world, take a body in a sacred humanity, make peace with a holy God for sinners, that the chastisement of our peace would be laid on him, and with his stripes we're all healed. This is Zion's rejoicing, isn't it? This man shall be the peace. He was born of a woman. He grew up. He took a sacred manhood, holy, sinless, and harmless. You say this is the Saviour I begin to know and do know and love, I would love him more, because in him are all the fullness of the Godhead bodily and all the riches of grace. And from his fullness all believers receive grace for grace. You say, my religion seems a poor religion. It doesn't seem to have what some seem to have, a great show, but I'm a little one that I believe great things of a great and glorious God. I at times can say this God is my God. He has raised me from the pit of hell. He has lifted me up upon a rock. He's put a new song in my mouth. This God is my God. And you go back then to the eternal counsels of God, when his blessed Son was being revealed in all the prophecies of the Old Testament. They all spake of Christ. They spake of judgments and mercies. And I mentioned in prayer of Habakkuk. Habakkuk just was at a loss to understand the judgments of God upon the wicked and upon the house of Judah. And he was at a loss. And then we read that beautiful expression, but the just shall live by faith. His faith said, although I can't understand God's dealing, I trust God that he is righteous in all his ways, and just and holy. And that is how you and I must live in this life. There are many things which we just do not understand. They are not revealed to us. They are clouded in holy mysteries. God will make them plain in his own time. God knows what he has purposed to do in and through his beloved Son. And this man is the peace. He is the ruler. He came to be the Saviour, not to rule as they wanted a king to rule over them, but to preach the gospel of the kingdom and call people to follow him and be children of light, children of the kingdom of heaven. Indeed, a Saviour and a ruler of spiritual Israel. And I've been thinking of a hymn. We used to sing it around the organ at home with others. And it was lovely to sing these hymns, and the words seemed so sweet and beautiful, but did we know much about them? Peace, perfect peace, in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Yes, it sounded sweet to a seeker, but what did we know then of the whispers of his love when he whispered within? But I trust you've come to know what we sing again of the Spirit whose whisper divine seals mercy and pardon and righteousness mine. And you say, all this in a dark world of sin. The hymn writer, what they knew we don't know, but they obviously knew by deep experience something of this perfect peace. Not perfect in our sense of the word, but perfect as God gives you that rest from all anxiety, that rest from all fear and doubt. And to you it is perfect peace. It's not an idleness. It's not let me have a little peace. When you're hounded by Satan because you are a child of God and not otherwise. When God gives you a little peace in this dark world of sin, then you're led to know that you only have that peace through this man that has made peace with God. He came to fulfill the law, every jot and tittle of it, And the law is there, taught schoolmaster, to bring us to Christ, who fulfilled that law, and satisfied the law, satisfied God's justice, made peace with an offended God, a holy God. This man has done all that, and we wouldn't have peace except through the blood of his cross. He took a nature that he could die the death. Solemn, sacred love of God, to so give his Son that we might live. He gave his only begotten Son. What a precious gift is that, to God to give his only Son, who lived with him in eternity with the Holy Spirit in those eternal councils, to fulfill the purposes of God, that he has found a ransom. And the ransom, his own precious blood. And says the apostle again, we have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. I've been preaching recently on Come Now Let Us Reason Together. You know the setting, judgment. The Lord's encouraging a remnant that felt their sins were scarlet and crimson and felt they'd committed sins beyond, they couldn't find strength of faith or courage to come back to the Lord. And the Lord is saying to them, come now, let us reason together. And I said then, what is the ground of a sinner reasoning with God? It's not like the rich young ruler that said, all these things have I done from my youth. He was reasoning according to the law of works. No, we can only reason with God on the ground of his mercy. And you know it. Rejoice in it. The only way I've been able to reason with a holy God as a sinner is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And isn't that what Jesus taught when the Pharisee, whether it was a parable or so, we're not told, but Jesus sets a parable as praying with himself. He wasn't reasoning with God, he was praying thus with himself. The poor publican couldn't stand afar off, draw near, he stood afar off and smote upon his breast. And his only reasoning with God was, be merciful to me, a sinner. And though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow, red like crimson, double dyed, they should be as white as wool. What beautiful teaching we have in the Word of God, and it's through this man that we can reason with God. We can plead a righteousness. We can plead his precious, virtuous, sin-atoning blood. And we have peace with God, says the apostle, through him, through his blood. Because that's the way of peace. That is God's way of peace. He was punished sin. You say, oh, I know that. What a mercy. I was made to feel it. What a mercy I was to come to pray, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What a blessing if I've known peace that comes through the whispers of his love. This man should be the peace. Then think of not only that he made peace, but think of the peace that he made betwixt God and sinners. That vast difference, that vast gulf that Jesus taught of between him and you. The depths of mercy to a sinner. But when we think of peace, I go again back to that hymn really. It's on my mind, been on my mind today. If you know something of its language, it's with sorrows surging round. We've known sorrows that surge round, that make our minds as numb as they can be. The questions we ask, the questions unanswered, the unease we feel. What does the hymn say? With sorrow surging round on Jesus' bosom, naught but peace is found. Have you experienced it? Sorrow surging round. Think of the picture the man is writing of. On Jesus' breast, naught but peace is found. I shall never forget a dear deacon lived opposite us. His young lad of 10 was knocked down by an army lorry and killed. And he was walking the streets, comforted by the Lord, sustained by the Lord. Somebody said, "Aren't you sad?" He said, "I am sad, but I can't be sad. I can't be sad." And he said to me, "I'm enjoying the support and peace of God." You know, that is perfect peace, isn't it? Sorrow surging round. Young son crushed almost before their eyes. Supported. Well, they never forgot their son. They never forget the tragedy, but they will never forget the support either, because this man is peace, has made peace, and can convey peace. And again the hymn says, with loved ones far away. How many parents are anxious for their loved ones? Maybe in this country, they may be in a foreign country, they may be in a friendly country far away, but the hymn writer says, in Jesus' keeping they are safe, and we. It's given peace to say, "Lord, we cannot defend them. We leave them in thy hand, dear Lord. We pray for them." And we, sometimes the Lord gives us that faith to say, "Lord, we have to leave them there." Sometimes our wandering children, we wonder where they're wandering. Wonder what they're doing. We have to leave it, don't we, and find peace. There's a wonderful peace in many of the hymns that we sing in our Gadsby's hymn book, sacred hymns of sacred truth. One has said recently, in Gadsby's hymn book there's the whole of scriptural theology, and we believe him in the experience of it, as the hymn writers tasted anew of it. Well, again the apostle speaks of the patience and comfort of the scriptures. The word patience there means continuance. Aren't we thankful for the continuance of the holy scriptures and the comfort of them? We wouldn't have much comfort if we never had a Bible, or if we lost it, or if we were forbidden to read it. But the apostle thanked God for the patience, that's a continuance and comfort of the Holy Scriptures. And it's through this man that we have the continuation of the Word of God. And think of what comfort we have in the Word of God. In this world, said Jesus, ye shall have tribulation, but in me ye shall have peace. Peace. When we were young, we couldn't see how peace could be in the person of anyone. And now in believing we see there's peace in the person of Jesus Christ. And what is peace but a solid peace that we're speaking of? Solid joys we sing, and lasting treasures, pleasures, none but Zion's children know. But it's solid peace, isn't it? There's a witness when there's peace in the heart for a comfort. If I were to show a family where there's no faith in God and troubles comes into that family, what do you hear? Why has God allowed this? He cannot be just. And no doubt there's many angry feelings and murmurs as to why God has allowed these things. But one who is blessed with this peace, when there's trouble comes into the family, and it does, there's quietness. There's a witness of the quietness of the peace that God gives by way of comfort, because our peace is in Him. The peace He gives is not as the world gives. And we have that comfort. Yes, we are quietened. We ask questions. We seek grace to be resigned. We seek self-denial that we're protected from giving vent to feeling. How different that family that possesses the fear of God to the family that doesn't. Peace. The comfort of peace. And it's through this man. It's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ we have comfort. And take the words of Jesus Christ many times. My peace I give unto you. You've heard it many times. You've pondered it many times, sought to understand it more deeply. What is it to know Jesus giving us His peace so that we come to a sacred trust in Him? In this man. And what a sacred trust that is when we know the peace of God which is keeping our hearts and minds through our Lord Jesus Christ. Am I speaking of things that you know and want to know more of? In me ye shall have peace. Not as the world giveth. How does the world give peace? Well, good luck. Hope it'll be all right with you. Oh, I'm sure it'll be all right with you. It's a poor sort of peace, isn't it? Poor sort of peace. But when Jesus gives peace, it's so often, peace, be still. And you know that He is in control, that He has all power. And you've sung that hymn, beautiful verse in it, love cannot from its post withdraw, nor sin, nor death, nor hell can make the Saviour withdraw His love. It's peace, isn't it? Well, I believe that hymn I've quoted speaks of what it must be at last, perfect peace when we're gathered home. And why will it be perfect peace? Because we shall see our Saviour. And look at that beautiful description, that there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And there's a beautiful picture for faith, to realise the saints are chosen in Him, redeemed in Him, blessed in Him, and now are one with Him, and they cannot be condemned. Could be, every deserving, every right to be, but through the peace made by the blood of His cross, our sins are all forgiven, and we are justified in His sight. Again, I've been speaking of sanctification, and this must be my last thought. There were some, and still are possibly, that believe in being justified by faith, that's an act imputed, and once justified, whether we die in the dark, under torment, being justified by God, we shall be saved to heaven. And some believe that sanctification is imputed to you. They believe when you have the blessing and favour of Christ on you, that you are made holy and sinless. The scriptures don't teach us that. The scriptures that we find comfort in teach us that it is here a little and there a little, and God by His Spirit giving us that desire and grace to be and live a holy life. And that's what every true believer wants, to live in faith and true humility. And that sanctification of the Spirit is because God sees us as those that have been washed, those that have been forgiven, those that need grace, pray for grace, and that are dependent upon that grace. They are sweet followers of Christ. And the more we are sanctified, the more we love our beloved Redeemer. And the more we rejoice in this man who is the peace. Well, can you bless God with me tonight that there is a blessed Redeemer, that He did come willingly to this earth, that He did offer Himself a willing sacrifice, that He did die a sin-atoning death, that at Calvary He did shed that precious blood as a ransom, and the virtue of it being divine is a divine virtue that we sing of. It flows from Emmanuel's veins. It will never lose its power till all the Church of God is saved to sin no more. So I've been directed to the Old Testament to realize a most blessed truth, that this dear man should be the peace. Do you know this dear man? Do you know that peace? Then may we go home rejoicing and praying unto Him. May the Lord add His blessing. Amen.
Singing hymn number 582, the tune is Lewisham 678. Hymn number 582. High beyond imagination is the love of God to man, far too deep for human reason, fathom that it never can. Love eternal richly dwells in Christ the Lamb. Love like Jesus none can measure, nor can its dimensions know. 'Tis a boundless, endless river, and its waters freely flow. O ye thirsty, come and taste its streams below. Hymn number 582.
words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. We are poor, Lord. Oh, but what a precious God thou art. What a precious Saviour to exalt. We are dumb at best, Lord, to express thy glory. We've sung of thy love. We've sung of thy glorious purposes. We'll come again, Lord. Thirsty souls, we'll come again unto thee. Take us home. Take us home to pray. In safety, Lord, we pray. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Heavenly Father, the communion of the everlasting Spirit. Amen.